Following are comments on Shakespeare's Henry IV, Part 2, Act 2. Now the Lord lighten thee, thou art a great fool. Falstaff is arrested for a debt to Mistress Quickly, but he convinces her to let the charges go and even lend him more money. In Act 2, Scene 1, Officer Fang comes to the tavern in Eastcheap to execute the hostess's suit against Falstaff for debt and arrests him. The problem runs deeper than debt, though, as we hear from the hostess, Mistress Quickly herself. She complains to Sir John that he promised to marry her some time ago, on the memorable occasion of his being hit over the head by Prince Hal for insulting the king. Obviously, he has broken that promise, though he continues to deny it. Falstaff has a strong case of what today we would call status anxiety about falling into a socioeconomic rung below one's present place. The Lord Chief Justice tries to get Falstaff to observe proper decorum for a night, telling him, quote-unquote, "Answer in the effect of your reputation and satisfy the poor woman." Act 2, Scene 1, lines 114 through 115. Falstaff chooses another course. He sweet-talks the hostess not only into dropping her suit, but lending him more money. Trading upon his rank, quote-unquote, "As I am a gentleman," he says, Sir John borrows a tidy sum. Act 2, Scene 1, line 120. The scene ends with the Lord Chief Justice and Falstaff engaging in some verbal parrying in which His Honor tells him to stop loitering and keeps refusing to answer the knight's questions. There is recruiting work to be done, but in the end, all he can say is, quote-unquote, "Now the Lord lighten thee, thou art a great fool." Act 2, Scene 1, lines 171 through 172. This honest magistrate doesn't know quite what to do with Sir John Falstaff, a man of respectable station who continually and successfully confounds the expectations that come with that station. In everything, the purpose must weigh with the folly. Prince Hal and Poins agree to disguise themselves as servers and watch Falstaff carrying on at dinner. Much of what Prince Hal says to his companions in Henry IV, Part 2, has an air of pending withdrawal, in spite of its often jovial surface quality. At the beginning of Act 2, Scene 2, Hal says to Poins, quote-unquote, "What a disgrace is it to me to remember thy name or to know thy face tomorrow?" Act 2, Scene 2, lines 12 through 13. As the Norton editor's footnote number 3 for page 728 implies, this is a class-saturated utterance on the prince's part. He is becoming more aware of how discordant his preoccupations and friends are to his great status and increasing responsibilities. Hal even connects this issue with the king, saying, quote-unquote, "My heart bleeds inwardly that my father is so sick, and keeping such vile company as thou art, hath in reason taken from me all ostentation of sorrow." Act 2, Scene 2, lines 41 through 44. Still, the prince's growing self-consciousness doesn't prevent him from plotting against Falstaff. Dressed as waiters, he and Poins will observe Sir John's antics with the hostess and the prostitute doll Tearsheet at the Boar's Head Tavern in Eastcheap. The prince is abashed at disguising himself, but as he says, quote unquote, "In everything the purpose must weigh with the folly." Act 2, Scene 2, lines 152 through 153. "Oh, yet for God's sake, go not to these wars. Hotspur's widow Kate prevails upon Northumberland to abandon the rebel cause." In Act 2, Scene 3, Northumberland seems ready to head out for the wars against King Henry again, after having been absent from the rebels' disastrous loss at the Battle of Shrewsbury. Kate, Hotspur's widow, scornfully opposes this move, tossing that very absence in his face now to keep him at home. Quote unquote, "Oh, yet for God's sake, go not to these wars. The time was, father, that you broke your word when you were more endeared to it than now." Act 2, Scene 3, lines 9 through 11. She means that at Shrewsbury, there was the added draw of protecting Hotspur, but now he's dead. Northumberland protests, saying, quote-unquote, "Fair daughter, you do draw my spirits from me with new lamenting ancient oversights." Act 2, Scene 3, lines 24 through 25. But in the end, he is talked into heading north to Scotland for the time being. "I'll be friends with thee, Jack. Thou art going to the wars." Hal and Poins, in disguise, watch at the tavern as Pistol insults Dull, Falstaff trash-talks Hal, not knowing he's present, and Hal and Sir John are called to their duty in the wars. Dull and the hostess both express affection for Sir John. In Act 2, Scene 4, Prince Hal and Poins execute their plan to observe Falstaff in his native habitat, and they get quite a show. It begins with Falstaff teasing the prostitute Dull Tearsheet about pregnancies and spreading sexually transmitted infections, to which first charge she responds with feisty words, quote-unquote, "A pox damn you, you muddy rascal." Act 2, Scene 4, line 35. The Norton editor glosses the phrase "muddy rascal" as an out-of-shape deer. From this interaction, we get a strong sense of the seamy underbelly of London life, the subterranean economy of vice that existed in Shakespeare's own time and before and after it, too. The hostess tries to please Sir John by talking like a traditional wife. She tells the riled-up Dull Tearsheet, quote-unquote, "One must bear, and that must be you. You are the weaker vessel, as they say, the emptier vessel." Act 2, Scene 4, lines 54 through 56. Dull herself admits to feeling genuine affection for Falstaff, saying, quote-unquote, "I'll be friends with thee, Jack. Thou art going to the wars, and whether I shall ever see thee again or no, there is nobody cares." Act 2, Scene 4, lines 59 through 61. This is a poignant moment for Dull, who, though she's held in low esteem by those around her, shows real passion, not just transactional sense. When a drawer announces that Ensign Pistol, a known quote-unquote swaggerer, wants to speak with Falstaff, the hostess winces with concern for her reputation as a modest woman and tavern keeper, quote-unquote, "If he swagger, let him not come here. No, by my faith, I must live among my neighbors. I'll no swaggerers. I am in good name and fame with the very best." Act 2, Scene 4, lines 65 through 67. Of course, there's word in Henry V that Pistol ends up marrying Mistress Quickly, so there's that. Falstaff proceeds to bait Pistol with sexual innuendo, and since the hostess is too abashed to speak for herself in reply to Pistol's abusive remarks to her, Dull Tearsheet lights into Pistol with expressions such as, quote-unquote, "Away, you cut-purse rascal, you filthy bung, away. By this wine, I'll thrust my knife in your moldy chaps, and you play the saucy cuddle with me." Act 2, Scene 4, lines 110 through 112. Dull is not someone to be trifled with. She knows how to defend herself and other women. Things go from bad to worse, and when Bardolph gets into a sword fight with Pistol, Falstaff joins in and drives the rogue out of the tavern. For his valiant effort, he is rewarded by Dull with, quote-unquote, "Ah, you whoreson little valiant villain, you." Act 2, Scene 4, line 185. Dull soon takes a spiritual turn, asking Sir John, quote-unquote, "When wilt thou leave fighting a days and foining a nights, and begin to patch up thine old body for heaven?" Act 2, Scene 4, lines 205 through 206. Of course, she also calls him a, quote-unquote, "whoreson little tidy Bartholomew boar pig." But that's no doubt an affectionate gesture. Act 2, Scene 4, line 204. Sir John isn't pleased with Dull's searching question and replies, quote-unquote, "Peace, good Dull, do not speak like a death's head. Do not bid me remember mine end." Act 2, Scene 4, lines 207 through 208. This reaction is suggestive of the unease, or as we would say, existential angst, that may be underwriting Falstaff's usually boisterous, playful words and actions. We should never underestimate the power of the medieval memento mori, whether it be an image or an utterance. But soon, Sir John moves on to something that is sure to get him into a fix, as he turns to disrespecting his illustrious and supposedly absent companion, Prince Hal. Falstaff says of him that he's, quote-unquote, a good shallow young fellow. He would have made a good pantler. He would have chipped bread well. Act 2, Scene 4, lines 210 through 211. He also says Hal's friend, Poins, has, quote-unquote, no more conceit in him than is in a mallet. Act 2, Scene 4, lines 214 through 215. But Falstaff's biggest faux pas in this regard is what he says when Dahl asks why Hal so loves Poins. Sir John's answer is that the two of them are essentially the same. Poins' behavior shows, quote-unquote, a weak mind and an able body for the which the prince admits him. Act 2, Scene 4, lines 224 through 225. This is to place Hal on the same level as a rascally commoner. We have already listened in to Hal's concerns about his conduct affecting his reputation, so he will not take kindly to Falstaff's comments. Dahl expresses more of her genuine affection for Falstaff, and then Hal, abandoning his waiter's disguise, chides him for his disrespectful remarks. Sir John is reduced to saying to Poins and the prince, quote-unquote, no abuse, Ned, in the world, honest Ned, none. I dispraised him before the wicked, that the wicked might not fall in love with thee. Act 2, Scene 4, lines 289 through 291. This is patent nonsense, of course, and the knight goes on to abuse his companions roundly. Bardolph, Dahl, and the hostess are most unfairly dealt with here. Soon, though, Prince Hal feels the call of duty towards his father, since hostilities are brewing, and Falstaff is also beckoned by many messengers to get to his duty of raising troops for the king. Falstaff says his goodbyes, the hostess expresses her affection for him, and Bardolph follows after Dahl Tearsheet to bid her, quote-unquote, come to my master one last time before he must go. Act 2, Scene 4, line 353. Scene 4 is in part surely intended as a bit of comic relief among the weightier scenes surrounding it, ones involving the play's great royal actors on the national stage. At the same time, however, Shakespeare uses this scene to expose the uncertainty, the anxieties, that link many of the play's characters, be they silly, like Falstaff and his tavern companions, or serious, such as the guilt-ridden Henry IV, the often absent Northumberland, or the prince, who is determined to redeem his time and image when those around him think least he will. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Friday, October 17th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume genre-based format.